Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here in the studio with you. How are things shaking over there on that side, man?
Things are doing great. I'm excited about this show.
This is going to be a fantastic show. We have two gentlemen in the studio. We're going to fold a program director with Gwinnett Technical College, Mr. Andy Lindman, into this conversation very shortly because these two gentlemen are working together to provide some fantastic services for folks. But first up, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Warranty and Training Manager with Deutz Corporation, Mr. John Stahl. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing well. Deutz, spelled D-E-U-T-Z. It's the engine company, but tell us more.
Deutz is actually one of the oldest engine manufacturers in the world. 153 years they've been building engines. So Otto, which is Nicholas Otto, was the founder of the company. And if you drive a car, lawnmower, anything with a four-cycle engine in it, he invented the four-cycle engine. So...
When did they get to America?
I think they've been here since...
Before you.
Maybe
before
20s. You. Yeah, man.
So they've been here a long time.
Yeah.
And then how did they get to Atlanta? Is Atlanta a headquarter?
Atlanta is the original headquarters.
So oh, really? So for a long time.
Yep, they've been based out of Atlanta.
Where are you guys, in Norcross?
We're in Norcross.
And then what's there in Norcross? Is it a sales arm, or do you guys actually make engines here?
We do not manufacture engines here. All the engines are manufactured in Germany, but we do production there. So we build product for certain OEMs. We build power packs that power construction equipment, all sorts of different rental equipment out there. So we build power packs there. We also have all the parts distribution there, and we also have training, and then the sales arm is there.
And so you have salespeople around the country, or everything's here in Atlanta?
All around the country. They're based.
So do you get a chance to go to Germany much? Is that part of the...
That's a perk for working there?
It is a perk. I do go to Germany quite often to work with the technical service side of it. With warranty, we want to make sure that we're all aligned with any new product or issues. So we try to meet four times a year to discuss anything that's going on.
I bet you can't even drink an American beer, right? I mean, it's so much better for me, right?
I will say they like to drink over there.
No, you have to learn how to hang with that crowd, don't you? It's a tolerance. It's something you have to build up.
I have not built up yet.
You're working on it.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
That's part of the training program.
Right? All right, so warranty and training manager, what are your key responsibilities?
My responsibilities are everything from Canada to South America for warranty administration. So any warranty claim that gets put in on a Deutz engine during its warranty period actually comes through Norcross in my department. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm over all the training for those areas. So I have trainers that work for me, a training manager also below me that oversees all that. And what we look at is that those two pieces go hand in hand. You know, generally when someone's repairing our product, if they're not trained, we see bad repairs, right? So training is, you know, very integral to warranty, and it's near and dear to my heart. So
are you a trainer? That's your background in training?
I background everything from mechanic to actually training. Uh-huh. Yeah, I've been a trainer.
So when you have people out there repairing, is that also an opportunity, as it is in some fields like the IT management field and the computer repair field, is it an opportunity also to see what else might be available to market to that customer? I mean, is it a channel for identifying those opportunities?
Sure. The old adage for us is, you know, sales the first one, service sells the rest of them.
Oh, okay.
So anytime one of our service people go out, you know, if they're highly trained and they were able to service the product thoroughly, not only is it great for their business because they are not part of Deutz, we actually have dealers that we sign. Mm-hmm. So it's good for their business. I mean, mm-hmm. they look good to the customer. It's prompt service. The customer genuinely likes our engines that they're in. So it can help them a lot if they do a good repair.
So when you have that kind of responsibility, stretching from all the way to South America, all the way up through Canada, did you say?
Yes.
I mean, you've got some different cultures there, maybe some language barriers. Can you speak to that and the challenges that might present when you're trying to design curricula and roll it out?
It can definitely be difficult, you know, touching all the different cultural. I mean, you're talking 4 to 5 languages immediately, you know, everything from, you know, Spanish to Portuguese. We have French, Canadian French.
Yeah, there's like several Frenches, right?
Yeah, and it's very different when you do that. So the communication and making sure that the material and the curriculum is very easy to translate is a high priority for us. So we definitely work on that constantly to make sure the message is simple and clear, and no matter what language it's delivered in, there's nothing lost in the translation, I guess would be a good way to put it.
Now, training is one thing, but you need people to train, and there's kind of a shortage on some of these diesel technicians, isn't there?
There's a huge shortage in the industry. As it looks today, the younger people, I think this would probably be one of the last repair jobs or career fields that they would ever want to go into. You know, automotive is definitely shortage, but that's more of a, you know, prestige. People know automotive technicians. Over-the-road trucks, that's also a big, you know, that probably the next draw where people understand that. But you get into something that Deutz powers, which is construction equipment, small engines. There is nobody that wants to do that. There's nobody grew up going, wow, I've always wanted to work on a, you know, small diesel engine. So we're seeing that in the industry. Our dealers can't find people. Our distributors can't find people. And we're not able to perform, you know, it hurts us in our warranty side, because our response time is not fast enough.
Now, and that's part of why we have our guest here, Andy Lindman with Gwinnett Tech. He is...
He's going to fix this.
You're going to solve this problem.
Andy, you got this fixed, right?
Yes, sir. That's going to be the goal.
Get in there.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's going to be the goal. We're just going to try to put some people out and get some people in there through this partnership that can repair his engines and everybody else's.
So now this is... this idea of businesses working with... colleges and education partners. I am a big proponent of this, and I wish it would happen more often. Can you share a little bit about how this came about and how you decided to kind of create a curriculum that helps people get jobs? Andy, you're kind of training the next people, and then you guys are having kind of growing your own workforce too. So everybody wins in this situation.
It started over a real beer.
A beer.
And then it grew from there, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, a sweet one. So. John, actually, I became the program director for the diesel department at Gwinnett Technical College somewhere shy of a year ago, right at a year ago. And John and I have known each other through our mechanics background for a long time. And actually, I think John was the one that with the idea came up and approached me with a partnership.
And then, like in Germany, this isn't as unusual, right? Doesn't that happen more often than...
Believe it or not, you don't see that as much in Germany and the European. They have more of an apprentice system. Right. So they work more in the dealers.
Uh-huh.
So the big businesses aren't engaged. Unfortunately, in our market, it's not the same.
Right.
So what I looked at was, okay, we don't directly employ the technicians. We have dealers and distributors, but I hear this complaint. I see the warranty concerns that we see wanting our product to be outstanding. The best idea I had was, why don't we partner with the local technical school and see if we can't get them what they need to start training the technicians. If we can attract one or two out of a class that works on our product, I think that's a win.
Right.
You know, so we're going to look at using Gwinnett Tech as our foundation, working through all the kinks within internal for Deutz, what it takes to get them the product and thoroughly support them, and then we're going to look at maybe adding more schools as we go along each year.
And this is something that you started from scratch. There was no...
Correct.
You guys weren't working on this so separately. You were just said, hey, let's together kind of make this work?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. It was, you know, I contacted him and said, are you interested?
And yeah, we absolutely were, because, you know, we're trying to, like you said a second ago, we're trying to build a curriculum, a way to advance these students, get them into the careers, get them moving forward, any way we can get these guys jobs, and any extra skills we can put into it is a huge help.
So then you decided, as Deutz decided to, okay, what do you need? So you donated engines, I guess, for them to learn on? Is that part of it?
I mean, it's definitely public record. We donated about $78,000 worth of engines to them. Also, we've stocked them with all the product that they need. So we're going to supply them with parts. So when they work on the engines, if they break something, they'll be able to fix it.
That's what you want them to do,
right?
In real life.
Yeah, in real life.
So it makes sense.
So we've given them all the proprietary service information that they need. We've also provided them with scan tools, so they'll be able to communicate with the engines. And hopefully we brought their trainer in, so the instructor that will be teaching the class, and ran him through what we have a train the trainer program. So we have other people that do training for us out in our distribution network. So we ran him through that program to get him up to speed on the engines we donated. So he is actually a certified train the trainer for Deutz.
And now you're a Gwinnett Tech alum. Is that? Did I hear that right?
I am. I actually did graduate from Gwinnett Tech.
So you graduated from there. And of course, you knew Andy. So you knew that you were dealing with some folks with some substance and credibility and felt like, you know, this is something that could work. We just got to map it out.
Right. And Gwinnett Tech, you know, not only being an alum, being part of that, great school. I know that they really do it right. Their foundation that works with businesses, very accommodating and would help us. So I figured if I was going to start something, that was a great place to start. You know, knowing the people, knowing how committed they are to producing students, I wanted to be, you know, with a top-notch school. So yeah, I went with Gwinnett Tech.
So now, Andy, now when you create this, now you got to get students, right? That's the next challenge.
Yes, sir.
Was that hard? Like when you put this out there, were you able to get students?
It is. This will be the first semester this fall.
Okay, so it hasn't started yet.
Correct. So we're starting, I think the first days of class are August 15th.
Okay, so it's pretty close.
Yeah, timely.
Yeah, so we're getting them started. So we're getting everything into place. We've got all the curriculum written out, all the lesson plans, all that sort of thing has happened. From there, filling it with students, like you said, trying to get students in has been a challenge because, like he was saying earlier, all the items with, you know, cars are cool and trucks are cool, but small diesel, that sort of thing, is not quite so much. So I've actually spent a big portion of my summer going out and recruiting at different locations.
So you're going to the high schools?
Yes, sir. I spent a lot of time at the high schools. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time at even just other diesel places trying to get their friends of friends, their kids.
Right. But it doesn't have to be a kid, right? It could be somebody who has a high school degree that is maybe underemployed.
Yes, absolutely. We have people coming that are literally just starting another career from, I've got one guy starting from IT.
Right.
Because he started sitting at a desk. I've got veterans that are joining up, coming out of the Army, you know, and all the other armed forces.
That sounds like a marvelous idea right there, is to take an intentional, proactive effort toward serving a population like the veterans returning. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we've been working with the Veterans Office through Robert Bauman, which is another program director there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a vet. And we've been going through those people, trying to find people that fit and want to drop into these positions, and they oftentimes already have experience working on some basic diesel out of,
right,
you know, deuce and a halfs or what have you.
All right, and then some of the more traditional marketing platforms, marketing channels for Deutz, maybe there's also an opportunity to kind of piggyback on them. Like, do you guys do trade shows and all that stuff? But so maybe part of your presence in some of the trade shows can have a recruiting flavor to it as well, huh?
Definitely, for sure. We're looking to push the word out about, you know, Gwinnett Tech starting in our program. You know, we want to make sure that everybody understands that we're serious about education. We want to help build technicians. So as we get out there, marketing director is definitely taking that and run with it. He's going to incorporate that into the trade shows. We're also looking to partner.
With other technical colleges around the country, I would imagine, right?
Once
you get this kind of built, now you can just kind of plug and play anywhere in the country.
Correct, especially where we see the most need for technicians for our product. You know, and that is self-serving, that we are looking at Deutz product. But, you know, like I said, it also benefits everybody within that program for them to have, you know, new product, current stuff on the market, and have the teachers know that current emissions equipment and things inside the engine.
So now, how are you going to, what's going to make you guys high five at the end of the semester? What does victory look like for you guys in this program?
I'll say for me, if all the students are employed out of his program, out of their diesel program, that's a high five for me. Whether they're working on Deutz product or they're working for somebody that only carries Deutz product, that's not necessarily it. We have people in the industry.
Right. Just more is better.
And if you're serving that ecosystem, it's going to come back to you. It'll come back to you tenfold. I mean, that's just the way the universe works, I think, don't you?
I do. And coming from that technical background, that product that you're introduced to in school and you worked on while you were learning how to be a technician becomes near and dear to your heart.
Right.
So, you know, and my thought is whether or not they are participant, they'll always know the Deutz name.
Right.
They'll know that I worked on that in school. I'm comfortable with those engines. So if they do have the opportunity to work with us, they'll definitely hopefully be able to take it.
Well, and it'll be more and more prestigious as time goes on, I think, for an instructor to be Deutz certified or even a school to be Deutz ordained or what, you know, whatever cool marketing that you come up with. Okay, so I want to hear the pitch. I'm not going to put you on the spot to have this, you know, incredibly well thought out, articulate pitch to me as a student, but I would be interested in some of the high points if I'm a student and I'm going to go in this general track. Should I understand or know that might really open my eyes to really pursuing going down this specific path?
Sure, sure. One of the biggest things is honestly just opportunity, the ability to grow in the job, the ability to move forward from there. On top of that, the time investment. A lot of guys come out of school, come out of the Army, they need to go to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have 4 years to play around. Yeah,
exactly.
They don't.
And this is a two-year certificate program that covers literally the basics for both off-road diesel, on-road diesel, and a small engine. And we go through all that, and they can get placed, start working, making a livable salary, which is a good amount of money. And from there, building into, you know, the potential for $100,000, $150,000 a year in some of these situations.
Wow, seriously?
Some of the best guys out there working at those rates, which is amazing for what amounts to 30 weeks of training.
That is not, incidentally, the average salary for a business radio host. Just to give everyone some context, in case you were wondering how high Lee and I are living.
So now, when you're the student who is going to choose this program, can you kind of profile them a little bit for us? Are these some of them are high school people, some of them, like you said, were veterans. Are they? Or is this the person that always played with their hands? They had a go-kart or, you know, they were involved in...
Yeah, generally anybody who you look at something, you look at a pen, for example, because I'm staring at a cup full here.
Right.
You take it apart, you want to see how it works, how the rotation inside the top works, how the springs click. If you're that kind of person that just wants to see how it works inside, those are the guys that are really going to do well. Even if you didn't have the initial, you know, hands-on on your car, on your whatever you're doing, if you were taking apart... When I was a kid, I was taking apart Transformers, you know, the little toys.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was pulling those apart and okay, the clicks, and then I'm clicking back together and they're working again. Those were the big things. If you're really looking and you're a mechanically apt person, then that's kind of the direction that you're going to flourish.
Yeah. Well, we've been finding that there's a lot of groups like yours that Gwinnett Tech, where they're taking that person that it's almost like the younger people are forced down this college path that may not a fit for them, but then their parents or whatever, they're getting a lot of pressure that says, oh, you have to go to a college. And then they go for like a semester and then they quit. They get frustrated because they don't feel comfortable in that environment. But there's other opportunities for them, like in a technical college, or we had, the Iron Yard, which teaches coding, like it's a, you know, teach computer coding. And then these people go for that period of time, like a short period of time. I think the coding one was like 12 weeks or something.
And then they get a job making serious money, right?
Because the industry is so hungry for these people that didn't fit into a college environment, but there's still a place for them. And then it's a better place than, you know, making a latte for somebody,
right?
You know, and it's just that it seems like that message isn't getting out there to the families, the parents, and the kids, that there's other choices than a four-year college to make a good, comfortable living.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to be smart to do these jobs along with it. It just because you're not doing 4 years of English, math, and, you know, history classes, you've got to be very sharp, very smart with electronics. You've got computer integration on all these engines, all the emissions. There's some chemistry involved. There's plumbing involved. There's fuel involved. There's storage. It's there's a massive amount of knowledge that applies to all the stuff you'll do in your life.
Right, but it's not an, and that's where I think the disconnect is, that they, it's almost like they're like, oh, college is for the smart kids, and then everybody else does these technical things. And that's not the case. It just because your mind doesn't work that you can, you know, do this, annotate an essay or something like that, there's a place for you. There's other skills you might be great at and make a good living that doesn't require you to go off to some, you know, four-year college that has fraternities and stuff that you may not even be interested in.
That's exactly right, and I agree with.
But don't you think the tide is turning, or do you think we're?
I don't know if it is or not. I guess Andy would know. Is the tide turning?
I'm seeing a fresh group of students come through with a renewed interest in in things
that's great.
Mechanical, automotive, and obviously that's where I focus.
Right.
I also talked to the welding instructors and construction guys over there, and there's a renewed interest in a lot of those trades. It's not where it needs to be to fill the holes and the openings.
Because, John, you could speak of that. Like, you guys are hungry for more bodies to do this kind of work, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The population is definitely starting to thin. And all skilled labor, you know, but especially in our off-road. The technicians that are still doing it are older. We don't have anything. People coming into the industry aren't readily available to replenish those jobs that are going away. So instead of being positive or having more people in industry or even staying even with the amount of technicians that are in the industry, we're seeing a decrease year over year. So we really need these people to come in.
So I have a couple of training and development questions. We have actually a whole show called Learning Insights. That is the show that airs before this one on Wednesday. So we're kind of still in that mode a little bit. So we talked to a lot of learning and development
and trainers,
people,
right.
And trainers. So I'm interested in asking you both a couple of questions just around training. One of which occurs to me, after you are working with them, Andy, and you create this market ready person, and now they come and you've got this market ready person. Well, competence is a moving target in our world, right? So there's ongoing training and development. So you've got that whole infrastructure that you manage, and you've got a team that helps you do that. I'm curious about the impact and use of technology. Is all of your training at the moment in person, instructor led, or are you starting to supplement that with some other? What's that word Leanne uses? Modalities.
Yeah, we are definitely, at the moment, all of our training is delivered face-to-face, hands-on.
Right.
We are having to branch out into what we consider e-learning.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So we will be doing that. And really what it boils down to, e-learning, when we get a lot of these guys in that are in the industry, they came in, they had no formal training, they learned how to repair some things, and they became technicians.
I mean, by doing it, right?
Right. But they don't have the foundations to be able to work on this new current crop of engines. Everything's electronically controlled.
Right.
We have very strict emissions that we have to meet now with Tier 4 emission standards that go into effect in 2019. So we're already ready for that. But what we're having is these guys are coming in and they don't have the basics. So we're having to look at go online and develop basics courses, how electricity works,
oh, wow.
How the engine works. What we find is the guys that have been through a technical program already have that foundation. You know, if they have the foundation, we can bring them in and train them very quickly.
For these specific new things.
Right.
Right.
For the product that we need. And they walk out of there with a much better
Now they have a more full 360 degree view of the thing rather than the one element that they learned on.
Exactly. So, you know, those people tend to do better.
So the other thing I was going to ask about is, so you've got this group of people that are out in the field, they're in the trenches, they're doing the work. And sometimes, you know, John has really figured out a way to get this particular issue fixed, and he figures it out quicker than the rest of the group. And I just wondered if you had a formal or informal, it wouldn't be a phone tree, but some way to feed that information back to the group so that your technicians can be as expert and efficient out there doing stuff. Do they talk to each other?
We do, actually. We have a technical call center It's located right outside of my office, so I get to hear that all day, which is interesting.
So they help each other out with this.
Yeah, and they do. So we take a lot of what we learn on the technical help center, you know, desk, and where they're able to resolve a problem, and bundle that up. And not only do we update the training monthly.
Oh, wow.
So we also put out change logs to the industry to show them what we've done. And then we're able to give that to each of our regional service representatives that are out there in the field working with these dealers. So we make sure that we share that information with them.
As quickly as possible, right?
Correct, yes. We definitely want to get it out there, because if we're seeing some sort of problem, or if we see something that works better to repair the process, right. We want to get that out there to everybody. We want them to be as quick and as efficient as they can be.
And the information is going both directions, both right? So like if somebody in the field is like, hey, impressive. I figured out this new way to do this, you'll get it. And then you can then share it back out to everybody else.
Yeah, we definitely do that. So the technicians, it's a very personal touch, I think, because Deutz is not a big market player like some of the other engine manufacturers right. out there. So we're
you're all in it together,
yeah,
right? You're all watching each other's back.
And they'll send us emails or pictures.
Do they have video? Like some, you know how you go online, you Google like best way to make a steak, and then somebody says, you know.
Believe it or not, that is in development. We hope to put that out next year. I wanted to do a video series, short 3 to 5 minute videos.
Right, for one element, right, that maybe somebody's having a hard time with.
Yeah, so technician, hey, where's this particular piece that we call out, but it's not really well described in the manual.
Right.
How about we do a 3 to 5 minute video to show them how to find it, how to
fix it, right. Yeah.
So wow. One of the reasons I ask, Andy, is my experience with people in the academe and people who are crafting the curriculum and rolling it out, that what they often will pay attention to, that those of us who are not professional learning people, is they do work hard to make sure that they're helping people not just learn a set of prescribed things, but also learn how to learn. And I bet that's a big piece of what you guys are integrating into your process. Yeah,
oh, it absolutely is. You mentioned that on my whiteboard in my office, I have written at the top, how do I teach people to teach themselves?
Ah, nice.
Because it's really something that it's a skill set that's very difficult to teach. It's something I'm actually learning to teach. It comes down to letting them fail, letting them hit it wrong, and finding it again, getting the answer to themselves. Once they've learned that, once they learn where to look for the service information, once they learn where to find the answers, know who to ask, don't just ask the question, know where to ask the question, don't go to some forum on the internet or something, right? Find the right spots to get the information, right. And then you've taught yourself how to find and how to repair what you're trying to fix.
And that's the guy or the lady that you want on your team, is a person that has this body of knowledge, knows how to access it, but most importantly knows how to learn and learn how to find stuff, because things, they are a changing, as I think they said in one of those songs.
You're exactly right. I mean, with the new product coming and emissions changing as fast as they are, having somebody that can adapt to new technology and really understand what's going on with the product. They really do have to be creative thinkers.
Right. And that's a critical skill, to be that nimble. Like, you can't be like, well, that's not how we do it. You know, you got to be open. Right. To like, look, this is how we do it today. So it might be different next week, but today this is the best practice. Now, Andy, part of the program, though, you don't have to wait 2 years to get work, right? Like, you can get them once they start this program. There's an internship element where they can get kind of.
Yeah, work. That's a good point. We actually have an internship during our second semester. So one of the classes, you take classes and you get paid to go to work for a spot
for a
store, something in the dealer, in the diesel industry. We've had people at many different locations. They're employed. If they want to get that grade and they want to get their certificate, they have to be employed actually before they leave the program. And most of those turn into full-time, and they just continue on from there, because in most situations, they're really pleased with the product or the student.
Okay, but to be fair, that is a way to think about that. I mean, they are humans and all that, but I mean, you are responsible for creating and delivering a good, solid product, and you've partnered as opposed to just being like a arm's length vendor. You've partnered with the people that you're serving to develop the very best one. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch unfold. I think the way you two guys craft this thing, I hope you choose to invest the energy and resources to document it as you go. To me, it very well could be a book, the book, or whatever the medium is on how to craft these relationships.
I definitely agree. One of the things, having a background in education that I hope to do differently with this program, and there's definitely industry partners with colleges. That's not unusual, four-year right. colleges, 2 years colleges. Sure. But I think where the disconnect that I've seen on both sides of it is industry doesn't understand necessarily the needs of the educational
right.
institution, and the educational institution isn't quite clear on the needs of, you know, what they need from industry.
Right.
So I'm hoping to be able to build that bridge to be able to define that much better. Say, hey, I understand that you have things called learning outcomes that you need to be able to do, that you need to be able to show that the person has learned this particular piece. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to be able to say, hey, I can work with you on that and help you by either supplying product or pieces from our training that you can adapt to your piece to meet your standards for your program.
Right. And I would see that something like where you guys are saying, look, I'm invested in this for Deutz, I'm invested in this program to the extent that I'm going to put machines in there. That helped you get this thing done. If you had to buy or go out and go find machines, this program would never have happened, right?
No, absolutely not. We've got reasonable resources. The school takes exceptional right. care of us, but there's no way we could come up with, you know, matching engines, $78,000, $80,000 yeah, worth of
right.
stuff.
Right. So you really had to work together yeah. and create a win-win environment for each of you so that each one of you can go back to your respective bosses and say, hey, this is how this is going to play out. This is the outcome we desire. And then this is how these kids or these students are going to be able to benefit. And then there's a path to job. So everybody had an outcome that was good for each of you, and you guys figured out a way to make it work. That's
well, yeah.
fantastic.
Well, you got them, John. You got them over a hump that might have been near impossible. You know, like this $80,000 thing. That would be, and in perspective, that's a relatively modest capital equipment mm-hmm. investment for a company like Deutz, if we can really do what we're talking about doing and generate this product. So, but you're investing the energy to make sure that along the way, it's not just Deutz that gets their thing. You're helping them do the things that they need to do.
Oh, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great.
So for Deutz, what's next up for you guys?
We definitely are going to be partnering. It looks like we're in talks with the American Equipment Manufacturers Association.
Mm-hmm.
They have a vocational program as well. So we're going to look at maybe taking the template, because I think our template, we're going to compare it to theirs to see how it looks and share information
right.
because there could be best practices that
sure.
they're doing that we're not thinking of. And hopefully take this thing national. That's what I want to do. I want to see colleges all around the country that serve our most dense population of product that, you know, the people who run our product can readily go to these schools and hire somebody that's familiar with the product.
So if somebody went to learn more for Deutz, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
Right now, if they wanted to contact us about the education program, warranty@deutzusa.com mm-hmm. is the best way to get it.
And deutzusa.com is the website where they can find all things Deutz, right?
Yes, exactly. So if you want to learn about the company, there is some pieces of our training that are up on that website that they can go to and,
oh, wow. Okay.
and look through and just kind of get familiar with the company.
And then, Andy, if they wanted to learn more about Gwinnett Tech?
It's gwinnetttech.edu.
And then they can kind of search for this diesel program?
Yes, sir. You'd go into the different certificates and degrees and diplomas, and you could go down, find automotive and diesel and that sort of thing.
And then there's still openings for this semester's class?
Yes, sir. We're getting close, though. So you'd want to go ahead and get this done quickly, because we're running out of time and we're running out of seats.
Okay, good for you. All right. Well, thank you both for being part of the show today.
Thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, this is a very inspiring conversation to me, and I look forward to the book on the Stahl-Lindemann methodology for partnerships. But no, I find this encouraging as I'm getting a little long in the tooth, and I'm looking back on people coming through school and deciding what careers they're going to pursue, my confidence, I guess, is a little bit refreshed that we're going to have systems and infrastructure to serve them, because I got to tell you, there's no shortage of kids that have come through our circle, Lee, that have invested time and energy in a path that just wasn't the right path for them, and it didn't serve them or
right.
Or so, thank you both, gentlemen, for coming. This is fantastic.
We appreciate you having us.
Yes, thank you.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.